Genesis 26. And we're going to conclude this series today on redigging wells. This is the sixth installment, last one today. But we've been kind of, God's been on a journey, taking us on a journey to redig wells. And what are those wells? And there's been three main things that he's pointed out to us, which is redigging the well of his presence, first of all. I don't know about you, but when I get into a prayer time, if I don't sense that God is hearing me, that he's with me, that prayer time is dry. I need more. And this morning I was praying. I was praying for a while. When you're a little tired, this makes it a little harder sometimes. At least it's been my experience. And I said, Lord, I just need you. I don't even want to think about having church without you. I mean, it's all about you. So, and I just suddenly, as soon as I prayed that prayer, I just instantly felt his presence. And how that feels for you might be different than how it feels for me. Some people, their hair stands on end, they get goosebumps, and others get warm, fuzzy feelings in their tummy or their chest. I mean, God knows each of us, and he knows what to do with each of us. Some of us hear voices, hear a voice, rather, not voices, sorry. It's not what I'm talking about. Does anybody hear voices? Let's pray for you right now. But some of us hear God talking to us, and others hear impressions in our heart. And I was talking to Ethan this morning, my oldest son. I'm not trying to embarrass you, buddy, but he came to me this morning, and he's like, "When I hear this, sometimes I do this." And he was a little bit frustrated that he felt like what he heard was not God, but he thought it was God when he first heard it. And I said, honey, welcome to the Christian life. This is what we all struggle with on some level. We learn and we practice the presence of God, if you will. And we learn what his voice sounds like. And we learn to listen. And sometimes we're wrong. It's just the way it is. We're human. We make mistakes. And we're not perfectly attuned to God all the time. And so how many would like to be attuned to God just a good portion of the time, never mind all the time? And so it's a learning process. It's a learning process for us. And then the second thing has been redigging the well of the Word of God and moving to from a place of spiritual hunger. Man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And then we talked about prayer, and share with you about prayer and how we have to have a daily time of prayer, aside from just God bless my food, but or God help me with this, or God save me from that, or God would you just kill this person whom I don't like, you know. It just and that's not a good prayer, by the way. And but you know, just aside from just the little tiny itsy bitsy things during the day, just say, Lord, I really want to spend some time with you. I want to talk to you, and I want to hear you. I want to hear what you would say to me, because sometimes I'm so busy I can't listen. So that's what God's been doing in us the last 5-6 weeks. And if you'd stand for the reading of the Word this morning in honor of God's Word, Genesis 26, we're going to finish up this passage beginning in verse 19. Isaac's servants also dug in the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. This is our water, they said, and they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Esek, which means argument. Isaac's men then dug another well, but again there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sitna, which means hostility. Abandoning that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it. So Isaac named the place Rehoboth, which means open space. For he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in this land. From there, Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. I am the God of your father, Abraham, he said. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will multiply your descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. Then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord. He set up his camp at that place, and his servants dug another well. One day, King Abimelech came from Gerar with his advisor, Ahuzath, and also Phicol, his army commander. "Why have you come here?" Isaac asked. "You obviously hate me since you kicked me off your land." They replied, "We can plainly see that the Lord is with you. So we want to enter into a sworn treaty with you. Let's make a covenant. Swear that you will not harm us, just as we have never troubled you. We have always treated you well, and we sent you away from us in peace. And now look how the Lord has blessed you." So Isaac prepared a covenant feast to celebrate the treaty, and they ate and drank together. Early the next morning, they each took a solemn oath not to interfere with each other. Then Isaac sent them home again, and they left him in peace. That very day, Isaac's servants came and told him about a new well they had dug. "We found water," they exclaimed. So Isaac named the well Sheba, which means oath. And to this day, the town that grew up there is called Beersheba, which means well of the oath. At the age of 40, that's the next passage I didn't want to get into, which means well of the oath. So God, this morning, we pray that you'd reveal your word to us. And Lord, there's new wells to be dug. We see that in this passage. And God, there's new wells that you want us to dig. And there's maybe even wells that I'm not going to touch on this morning that you want us to dig in our lives, figuratively speaking. So God, we just pray that you'd show us what you have for each of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As you're seated, if you're new with us this morning, there's a card in the seat back in front of you. We call it a connection card. We just like to find out a little bit more about you, and we have a gift we'd like to send you in the mail this week and some other things about the church. So if you're willing, we won't nag you too much. We won't have too much spam filling your mailbox, I promise. But if you're willing, and we would really like to bless you with something this week and give you a little bit of information about the church. So if you're willing, just fill it out and hand it to one of the ushers on the way out this morning. Thank you. So the first thing I notice here in this passage, which we've been on for 2 weeks now, 3 weeks today, is this: just keep digging. Just keep digging. What happened here is that the shepherds from Gerar followed them as they found good ground. They were leaving the Gerar Valley. Okay, Abimelech kicked them out. He said, "You're too big for us. You're too strong for us. You're too much of a threat for us." Remember, there was jealousy and there was opposition. Do you remember this from last week? There was some stuff coming against them. And so these guys, they boot them out. But then they follow them. What in the world? I mean, when you read scripture, don't just read it and just, you know, download this stuff and think about what you're reading. How crazy is it, unless they were jealous, unless they thought they were better well finders and well diggers than themselves, unless they wanted to steal water, okay? And this is what the world does. People will attach themselves to your coattails if you're being successful, right? And they will say, "Oh, I want to be around that person." But be careful. Be careful. Make sure your friends are those that God sends you to be your friends. Okay? Can I hear an amen on that one? So the shepherds followed them as they found good ground. The opposition continues, but now in the form of open theft of new wells. So Isaac keeps moving further away from the enemy until he reaches what he calls Rehoboth, a place of peace to prosper in, open ground. Just keep digging. When the world is taking stuff from you, when the enemy is coming at you, and I'm talking about the devil, and when people are nipping at your heels loudly, like little chihuahuas. Remember, they're not the enemy. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, right? All right? They're not the enemy. They just don't know any better. Pray for their eyes to be opened at that time. It doesn't mean you trust them. I'm not saying that, like I said last week, but they're not the enemy. But when that's happening, just keep digging. Just keep going. Don't give up. Don't give up. So what's God saying to us through this process? I think, first of all, this. Take the high road when you're mistreated. There's a little insert in your bulletin this morning with notes that you can take. I definitely encourage you to. This is your first fill in the blank. Take the high road when you're mistreated. What did Isaac do? He moved on. He didn't stay and have an argument. He didn't stay and have a fight. His shepherds came to tell him what was going on, and he moved on. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:44? Love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. It's hard. That's a hard thing, isn't it? And actually, that's impossible without God's presence in you, without God working in you. And that doesn't mean you trust them, like I said, to do the right thing. It doesn't mean that you let yourself be trampled on or abused. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What he's saying is that show my love to them in the process. Show them the character of Christ. Pray that they see the light. Pray for them. I mean, that person needs prayer more than anything, guys. They don't need a fist in the face. They need prayer. They need God to interact with them. They need an experience with the Most High God. That's what they need. There's a time to stand up and defend yourself, for sure. I don't think Jesus is saying, you know, roll over and play dead. He does say turn the other cheek, but what is he saying? He's saying don't retaliate. He's not... I was talking to my kids this year because there was some bullying going on at school. And they told me that the rule at school is that you can't hit back. You can't even push back if somebody's beating you up. This is the rule at their school. And I'll be honest, I had a hard time with that. I told my boys, I said, there's a fine line. We have to respect the authority in our lives. But you also don't have to sit there and take it when somebody's pummeling you. And nobody would expect you to. So if you can't run away, which should be the first thing you do, if you can't run away, then you cover yourself, you defend yourself. But sometimes that defense can also mean pushing that person away. Or a little bit more. I don't want to get into a big discussion on this. And so one of my boys came up to me one day and told me that something had happened, and he had been hiding it for days and days. And so I went to talk to the principal, and I said, hey, no offense, but I've got a problem with this policy because by nature, someone who keeps bullying over and over, if there's no accountability for the bullying, whatever form that takes, they're going to keep on bullying and they're going to think it's okay to bully their entire lives. And this person will not live a long life. They will make their bed and fall into it. That's the way it is. And so we had a really good discussion. I won't tell you what he said because he promised me to secrecy. You can draw whatever conclusions you want from that. But I went home and I told my boys, I said, you can defend yourselves. You don't have to worry about retribution coming back on you. And then one of the boys said, yeah, but aren't we supposed to pray for our enemies, Dad? And I said, yes, son, absolutely. Absolutely. So let's pray for them right now. Let's pray for your enemy right now, and let's do that. And so one of my boys reported to me a couple weeks later, hey, you know what? That kid's not so bad. I said, what's going on? Well, we're becoming friends. Pray for your enemies. Okay? Isaac just left. He said, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to take the high road. Okay, and this is the second thing. keep moving away from the influence of the enemy. If the enemy's coming at you and won't leave you alone, move away from the influence of the enemy. And this has all kinds of implications for us. But first of all, get away from people that'll drag you down. Listen, you're called to show the love of Christ, but you're not called to be deep, deep friends with somebody who says, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do things my way. You don't have to be there time and time again for someone who won't take your counsel. Sometimes love is tough. Sometimes love requires things that are uncomfortable. Sometimes love says, no, you are going to go to your room. And you're going to sit there and think about what you did. Sometimes love takes the form of some kind of piece of wood on a backside. Hey, don't knock it. It didn't do me any harm. It did me a lot of good. If you don't believe me, read the Bible. Spare the rod, you spoil the child. Okay? Don't argue with me about that. You can argue with the Lord if you want to. That's his word. The last spanking I got, I was 16 years old. I'm not kidding. My dad took a 2x4 to my butt. He's 5'8". I was 6 foot. And he said, I've had enough of this. Get out in the garage. And my dad's not a violent man at all. Okay, and you guys will meet him someday. And he said, get out in the garage. And I said, what are you going to do? Dad, you're 4 inches shorter than me, and I outweigh you by 50 pounds. What are you going to do? He said, you watch what I do. Take down your pants. I'm like, huh? And he took a 2x4 to my backside. And you know what? I needed it. I did. I needed it. My dad hadn't spanked me in 3 years before that. And if he listens to this online, Dad, I love you. I'll tell you what. That day, you can thank my dad because I woke up that day. I'm not kidding. I woke up that day, and I was never the same. Because my dad recognized something, and my mom recognized something. My dad came home early from work to deal with his obstinate son and teach him something. And he sent me to my room afterwards, and he said, now you go pray. I said, the last thing I want to do is pray right now. I'm mad at you. And I went upstairs to my bedroom. And the Holy Spirit filled my room. I'm not even kidding. And he played a video before my eyes of the last 3 years of how I've been treating my parents. Wow. I was wrecked. I was wrecked. And it started with a spanking. Wow. Stop taking in things that take you away from God. Stop taking in attitudes and ways of thinking that keep you from Jesus. Make good, wise choices that glorify God. Just keep digging. Stay thirsty. Pursue His presence. Stay hungry. Stay in His Word and get stronger. Spend time in prayer daily. Just keep digging. So what new wells does God help us dig as a result of these things? Of moving away from evil, of dealing with evil in our own hearts, of moving away from the enemy, of taking the high road. He helps us dig the well of greater character. The well of greater character. There was an outwardly beautiful society woman many, many years ago invited to an expensive fundraising dinner in New York City. And she was seated next to a wealthy attorney. And during the meal, they had a chance to get to know each other and were having a good time. When the meal was finished, cover the kids' ears. The lawyer leaned over and asked the woman if she would go to bed with him for $10,000. The woman blushed but said that she would. The man then asked her if she would go to bed with him for $10. The woman, shocked, said, "What kind of woman do you think I am?" And the man says, "My dear, we've already established that. Now we are merely deciding on the price." Guys, let's not be fair-weather Christians. Let's not just stick with Jesus until something better comes up or until the going gets rough. Our goal as Christians should be to allow the Holy Spirit to make us into the people that he wants us to be, to make us into people who are strong in faith. And if you just keep digging, God will help you dig the well of new character. He will. And there won't be any question about your value or your loyalties. The second thing I see here that Isaac did is he moved from glory to glory. He didn't stay where he was comfortable. He knew God had more. I mean, check this out. He gets to Rehoboth, this place that he calls Rehoboth. They dig a new well, and he says, "Okay, there's no more enemies. They're all gone. They haven't followed us here. Now we have enough open space, and we can prosper." The next verse says, from there, he moved to Beersheba. What? But you're in the prosperous place. You're in the open space already. Isaac, you have enough land for all your herds. There's enough water to give to everyone. Why would you leave this place? He knew God had more. Apply that to your life for a minute. Don't get comfortable with where you're at in your faith. If you're comfortable with where you're at, may I submit to you that something has already begun to decay. That there's something wrong. And you need to pinch yourself spiritually and say, "Okay, there's more. There's more. God has more for me." So he moves to Beersheba in faith. God appears to him in a vision the night that he gets there. He stopped where God told him to stop, just like in verse 2 when he stopped in Gerar and God told him to sojourn there as a foreigner. And you remember I told you he set up tents outside the city. That's what it meant, to stay there as a foreigner. Why? Because God knew that he was going to have to move. God warned him ahead of time. "Don't build houses here, Isaac. This isn't your final spot. Stay here as a foreigner." So God reaffirms his promises to Isaac here in this vision. And Isaac builds an altar, and he worships God, and he sets up camp, and he digs another well. God's telling you he's got more for you. God has more for you. If you stay in one place spiritually, you stagnate. You stagnate. You don't grow. God has more for you. And he responds to faith-filled action. Faith-filled action, like Isaac moving on to another place and saying, "Until God tells me, I'm not stopping. I will dig here temporarily and feed my family and give them water and give the flocks water and give the herds water. But I'm moving on until God tells me himself to stop." That was his experience. So why would he not expect God to do the same thing? So when he moved on, finally he gets to Beersheba, and God says, "Okay, now, this is the place where I want you right now." You know, God's communications to us are highlights for us to memorialize. When people tell me, "Hey, I gave my life to Christ today," I said, "Okay, write it down in your Bible. Write down this date so you can remember it. Memorialize this moment. This is important." You know, those of us that have been Christians for a while, we have certain songs that are memorials. My favorite hymn is Amazing Grace. My second favorite is It Is Well. And these are classic hymns. Many of you know them. and they are very meaningful to me. They're important to me. They are memorials and highlights to my spiritual experiences with God. I can tell you what song was playing when I responded to the altar when God called me into the ministry at age 13. It was "I Exalt Thee." And I will never forget that that was the song that I walked to the altar, and because God was pulling on my heart and saying, "I'm calling you to preach, not because your dad or your grandpa or your great-grandpa preached, but because I want you to preach." And I came to that altar in that little stone chapel in Utica, New York, and knelt down on the flagstones because it was an old-time, really cool church building. And I knelt down on the flagstones, freezing cold, thanking God that they were cold because it was 90 degrees outside. And I knelt down and I put my elbows on the slate on the altar. And soon that slate was wet with tears as I heard that song. Wow. God's communications to us are things to remember. Write them down. Write them down. Because when you're having moments of doubt, and you're having moments where your faith is lacking, you can open up your Bible, or you can open up your journal and say, "God, I'm not hearing from you today, but I just want to remember some of the things that you spoke to me before," and get encouraged. Build yourself up, like it says in the New Testament, in your most holy faith. So what new wells does God help us dig? Well, we talked about the well of greater character, but he also, here in this part of the passage, Isaac dug the well of greater worship. He dug the well of greater worship. He had a new experience with God. And he dug this well, so to speak. And he said, "Truly God is with me. He's with me. I'm encouraged. He's with me. And I worship him because of that." There was two young newlyweds who were preparing to enjoy their first baked ham dinner in their new apartment. And after unwrapping the meat and setting it on the cutting board, the wife chopped off both ends of the ham with a butcher knife and tossed the two small ends in the garbage. "Wait a minute," said the mystified husband. "Why did you do that? Why did you just cut the ends off the ham like that?" "I don't know. My mom always did it," answered the wife. "Maybe it helped bring out the flavor some more. I don't know." Unsatisfied, the husband called his mother-in-law. "Can you tell me why you cut the two ends off a ham before you cook it?" "Well, I'm not really sure why. That's just the way that my mom always did her ham, and it was always delicious, so I just did it." As soon as he hung up the phone with his mother-in-law, he called his grandmother-in-law. "Grandma, we have an important question. Can you please settle this for us? Why do you cut the ends off the ham before you bake it?" "Oh, yes, dear," answered Grandma. "I cut the ends off the ham so it would fit in my pan." Now listen, you're not going to laugh at this part. We may have received our worship traditions from somebody long before us. But for us to offer passionate, authentic worship, we can't rely on the past. We can't even rely on yesterday. You've got to dig new wells of worship every single day. That's what coming to Jesus in a devotion time is all about. That's what having that time with the Lord is all about. So press in for more. The last thing this morning that Isaac experienced was unavoidable blessings. Unavoidable blessings. His former friend, King Abimelech, the one who rejected him, shows up out of nowhere with his two top aides. They recognize the hand of God on Isaac's life, and they say, "Look, you're getting really big, and God's blessing you so much." Got a future preacher in the back there. "And God's doing this so much for you. We want to make peace with you. We want to make sure that you never attack us, because now we're getting a little bit scared." "Isaac, please make peace with us." Now remember, this is the guy that already took the high road. This is the guy that just redug the well of worship. His character's been being built by God. He's redigging that well. He doesn't send them away. Of course not. He greets them. He makes them to feel at home. He feeds them. He lets them stay overnight in his tent. And he says, yes, I will commit to being at peace with you. I'll commit to our friendship again. He blessed them. There's a story in the Old Testament, I think it's with Elisha, if I remember correctly, but the army is coming against the city of Samaria, a foreign army, and God strikes them all with blindness, and Elisha sends his servant out, and he says, lead them all into the city. Elisha's servant leads them in, and he sits with the king, and all of a sudden he says, God, open their eyes. And they all open their eyes, and they're looking down at a bunch of bows and arrows and spears aimed at them in the courtyard. And they, of course, drop their weapons, surrender. And the king says, should we kill them? He says, no, feed them and give them drink and send them home. Wow. Wow. So when you pray for your enemy, and then your enemy shows up in your doorstep and says, can you please help me, or can you please pray for me because I recognize the hand of God on your life and I need help, don't send them away empty-handed. Say yes. I mean, if nothing else, do what Peter and John did. Silver and gold have I none, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. You know, at least pray for them. Right? But Jesus says, don't just pray for them. Give a cup of cold water. Put clothes on their back. Take care of them somehow. We don't want to be a farce. Just give lip service. And God blesses Isaac that very day with another well. I mean, if you haven't gotten this picture by now, a well was like a gold mine, guys. It's the desert, okay? It's a gold mine. Gold didn't do them any good. Water did. So what's God saying? Number one, if you obey God, he will make your enemies to be at peace with you. He will. He promised it. And secondly, if you pursue God, his blessings will chase after you. But you got to pursue him, and that's your choice. And what new well does God help us dig? The well of greater leadership. Isaac became a patriarch of his nation, but he became an apostolic authority in this whole area because God blessed him and he put God first. He put God first and did things God's way. So God blessed him and God raised him up to even greater leadership so that even his enemies are coming to him and saying, we want to be at peace with you. Wow. I'm going to ask the worship team, whoever wants to, of our instrumentalists to come back. And I want to tell you one more story as we close this morning. A group of tourists were traveling throughout Europe visiting historical sites. And they were impressed that so many small villages, now listen, take heart, small villages, because you probably live in one or close to something small, as the world considers small. They were impressed that so many small villages were the birthplace of such great artists and poets, composers, and even political leaders. And while the group was strolling through a particular picturesque village, one of the tourists approached a man who was sitting in front of a building and asked a question. Excuse me, sir, but were any great men or great women born in this village? And the old man thought for a moment and he said, no, only great babies. Only great babies. We all start off as babies. We start off with opportunity to grow into greatness. We don't start off, as people would say, great. When we become Christians, We're born again as babies in Jesus Christ. We have to grow. We have to grow. The writer of the Hebrews said, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. That's Hebrews 6:1. That's why it's important to take every opportunity for growth. And many of you do, and I commend you for that. But the corporate prayer time at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning is a great opportunity for prayer. God's always talking to us in there. It's really cool. The Sunday service, you're here, so I'm preaching to the choir on that one. But the Wednesday night, family night, life groups, and the men's and women's ministries, and the kids' ministries that we offer, these are all opportunities for growth. And the great men and women of faith, just like you, started out as babies. They all started out as baby Christians. Some in old age, some as little kids. But we all have the same starting spot. If you just keep digging, the Lord will help you dig the new well of greater leadership. Now, I want to show you in closing, I want to show you two pictures. This first one is Gerar today. This is the village of Gerar today. It's abandoned. This is where Abimelech was king. It was a city. It was a strong city by ancient accounts. This is where, when faced with a man who was anointed by God, they said, no, we can't have you here anymore. And in a moment, I'm going to show you another picture. Hold off on that for just a sec, Joy. And it's Beersheba today. It's where Isaac found water. It's where God appeared to him and told him to stay. Check out this picture. This is Beersheba today. It is the seventh largest city in Israel, has a population of 200,000 people plus. And guess what? There wasn't just enough water for Isaac's family. There was enough water for a city. Wow. And can I just tell you, let this be a picture for us today of what God wants to lead us into. Maybe you hate cities. Okay, just deal with that for a second, okay? Don't mess up the illustration. All right? The point is that God wants to grow you way beyond yourself. When Isaac went there, he had the promises of God. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through you. That must have been mind-boggling to him. How are you going to do that, Lord? Guess what? This city, they're building a brand new high-tech center in Beersheba. And they said it's going to rival Silicon Valley and then some. It is going to be the high-tech center of the Middle East in this city. And I believe that when God touches a people, and hear me, because this is so on my heart. Sean and I have been praying for this for you and for our area for so long. Yeah, the year. Okay, I know. But so much we've been praying this for you and for our area. When God touches a people, this is what I told Mayor Griffith. When God touches a people and touches a church, and that church is stirred and that church is awakened, and those people in that community start to be awakened, or the various communities around us start to be awakened, what happens? When God's people line up their priorities with God, other people get touched. And as they begin to line up their priorities with God, guess what? A whole city begins to be touched. And the economic blessings follow. How can I say that? If you tithe and give your offerings, God's blessings follow you, don't they? That's what the word says. If you're not doing it yet, try it. Watch what he does. But God's blessings will follow you. I promise you. And I can promise you because I know it to be true in my life, and I also know it's true because of the word of God. But his blessings will follow you. So if a whole church or a whole family even starts to do that, their neighbors start to take notice. And then suddenly a city starts to be revived. Not just economically, spiritually. Spiritually, above all else, spiritually. I'll tell you what, when you look at revivals recorded in history, you watch what happens in those communities. those communities experience God's blessing economically, not just spiritually. There's something to be said for this. This isn't our goal for getting right with God. It's just a wonderful byproduct of getting right with God. The goal to getting right with God is just to get right with God and to be in right relationship with Him. Amen? Why don't you stand with me this morning? These guys are going to play a little bit. And how we close our services is this. If you're new with us, we don't like to close them. I don't like to close service. So I'm not going to. But what I will do is I will invite you to come and take a knee or to stand if you don't want to take a knee. Let somebody pray with you. Surround yourself with some people that care about you, that are willing to love on you a little bit, and agree with you in prayer about something. And the fact of the matter is, just like they're playing this song, we need more of God's love. We need more of His power in our lives. Those things together change people's lives. Not just us, but people around us. We want God to do that. We want Him to work through us. So this morning, if you'd say, yeah, I want to redig these wells that we've been talking about. Character. I need more of God's character in my life. I need more of God's faith in my life. I need all these things that we've been talking about. I want more of His presence. I want to be in His Word. I want to develop in my leadership as a Christian and let God use me to lead others toward Him and to disciple them and help them grow stronger. So if you want to respond to that this morning, I just want to encourage you to come up and stay as long as you want to pray. There's no time limit to this. We're not going to shut the building at a certain time or anything like that. But don't leave without experiencing and receiving and committing to what God has for you.